You're listening to Current State on WKAR. I'm Emmanuel Berry, and in studio, as always on most Mondays, we have Angela Whitrock of MLive. She's going to give us a rundown of the local economy, business, and development news. Welcome. First time both of us talking in studio together. Welcome,
Angela. I know,
Angela.
It's a nice change.
Yeah,
good to
you don't
see
have
you.
To look at Mark. No.
I have to say, I do adore Mark, but you are much more adorable.
Thank you. No, we love Mark. So a lot of different development news in particular, I think, going on. And also looking at budget season, as always a painful season. So you actually had an article yesterday in MLive, and you were looking at increased fees for city services as a way to balance the Lansing budget. So what kind of fees are increasing, and how does this help the budget? Is it even plausible, I guess?
Well, the biggest... The headlines so far have been made on the two largest fee increases, which would be shifting the burden from the general fund budget to city taxpayers via a fee on their power bills for streetlights and fire hydrants. But in a review of the proposed budget, we found that there are more than 130 fees included that are either new fees or will increase. This is everything from cemetery plots. If you want to be buried at Mount Hope Cemetery, that's going to cost you a lot more money than it used to, whether you're a resident or non-resident. If you get into a car accident and the fire trucks have to come and cut you out of your car, that used to be free. That's going to cost you a lot of money now. So, you know, pretty much everything, including parking tickets. I mean, it used to be, for a while, it was like $5 if you overstayed your meter, and if you went within 2 hours to pay it, $5. Now it's $7. Next, it will be $10. So everything is going up. And, you know, part of this is because the city has less money. I mean, property tax revenues are still falling. It's going to take a while for them to catch back up to the rate of, you know, because of Proposal A and these weird caps on everything. It's going to take a while for that revenue stream to rebound, even as we see home sales increasing and things like that. And the big chunk, really, and the mayor's office has been very vocal about this, is that the state has just gutted revenue sharing to cities. So Lansing has taken a cut every year since Bernero's been in office, and every year since, I think, about 2000. They've just, you know, the money that the state is supposed to be giving them is just not coming through. I mean, this is, you know, imagine your parents have promised to pay your rent through college. And every month they call you and say, well, I know your rent's $900, but we're going to give you $800. And then they call you the next month and say, well, I know it's $900, and we gave you $800, but now we're down to $700. That's sort of what's been happening to cities across the state. And they're, you know, all scrambling, looking for ways to fill that hole. You know, there's a promise made. It's money that city taxpayers pay in the expectation that their city will get it back, and they aren't. And these fees are the way to fill that gigantic hole that's left.
What has been the reaction to this so far? Do the council members seem, you know, okay with it, to go along with it, or is it kind of controversial?
You know, they're somewhat controversial, but the way that this council is set up and this city government is set up is, unless the council can mount a successful veto challenge, they can't do much more than, you know, beat their drums and rail against it. So even if they came out and said, we think this is too much, there's not anything they can do about it. Bernero's still got his veto power, and unless they can get 6 votes together, which right now with the current makeup is extraordinarily unlikely, they have no choice but to go along with it. You know, I think they recognize that this budget is a painful process, and it's a problem, and it's got to be balanced.
Now, moving on, another article was looking at how Snyder has been talking a lot about steering students into certain types of jobs, building students to fill the skills and the job sets that we need. And Rick Haglund had a very interesting piece that kind of said, well, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. You know, John Engler, the governor, many years back, kind of at this point, had this whole plan about doing that, and it fell apart essentially, because the jobs that we were looking at 10 years ago don't exist anymore.
Right.
There's different jobs. I guess what's your take on this article and on the situation, especially in light of all these, you know, people are about to graduate from college and everyone's kind of being told this is where you should go to make money, this is where jobs are. What's your take?
Well, I think, you know, in this type of economy that we're in now, it's always been a pretty tenuous proposition to prepare people for the labor market by training them so specifically. I think, you know, when I was a student, there was lots of talk about, you know, maybe you should be an engineer, and then when you graduate, there are going to be all these fictitious engineering jobs, and you know, it's by the time that you train somebody so specifically, it's a crapshoot whether that job is going to be there. And I think that's what Rick's column really pointed out, is that maybe instead of saying, you know, we're going to need 300,000 teachers in the year 2025, everybody go be a teacher, why don't we find a different way to prepare students for the real world? You know, people like me are sort of textbook examples of this. I was an English and art history major. I did not go to J school, but now I'm a journalist. There's got to be some type of way, I think, for the governor and for really policymakers state and nationwide to think about training students or offering them training that gives them the chance to be more nimble. You know, I know lots of folks who I went to school with who were also English majors or art history majors who are now program designers or are entrepreneurs. I mean, the way the economy works is a lot more fluid. And mm-hmm. simply deciding that, you know, X plus Y equals Z in the economy is probably not going to yield the same results that you think it is.
Now, we've also had a lot of development news. The LSJ had an article, 5 projects to watch. And yeah, let's talk about some of these projects and I guess where they currently are. One of those being the Red Cedar Golf Course, which doesn't look like anything's going on.
Yeah, you know, this is a real puzzling development. You know, it's tremendous potential. I don't think anybody argues that this development doesn't need to be done. There's a real tremendous environmental need there. The Drain Commissioner, Pat Lindemann, has said, you know, for years this needs to be dealt with. We've got to find a way to clean up this river. And somewhere along the line, you know, the pipeline, as it were, of communication is breaking down. And this project that we were promised would go at, you know, quote-unquote lightning speed is not really going at lightning speed. It's sort mm-hmm. of more just regular human speed right now. And, you know, I think that they had hoped to start really breaking ground and getting at least the drain commissioner's work done by now. And for some reason, it's not happening. And trying to get a straight answer out of anybody is just, well, this is the normal flow of business. And it's like, well, you set up these expectations with all of us by telling us, you know, it's going to go so quickly and it's going to transform everything. And right now it's not. But I think everyone in town is hopeful that, you know, we see some cranes in the air and some shovels in the ground soon.
Something
beyond overgrown golf course would be, you know, a real great addition to that corner of the city.
Mm-hmm. And they're looking at, that's going to be retail, housing, all that kind of stuff.
If it happens, you know, and we're even being told, well, you know, it's not that we've selected this plan, we're just looking at it. So there's a lot of nebulous fuzziness going on there that I think things are a lot less settled than we were led to believe initially, and maybe that's what we're seeing now.
Another project where it's kind of been stalled would be the casino. I don't know, is that ever going to happen?
Well, you know, I think the Sioux tribe believed that they had this legal provision that was going to basically give them carte blanche authority to open any off-reservation casino anywhere they wanted to. What they're finding is that so far the court is at least willing to hear the challenge of the state. And if that continues, if they cannot get the federal and the state government to agree that they do have this right, then no, it won't happen, and the Sioux tribe will be restricted to opening only casinos on their tribal lands. It's a kind of a big gamble. I mean, the developers told me initially that they were planning to spend at least $1 million before the legal challenges even started. So, you know, it's a fairly financially, you know, intensive risk to take, but mm-hmm. they're willing to do it. If it does happen, you know, it'll be phenomenal. It'll be right downtown. It'll, you know, draw a lot more business to the Lansing Center. If it doesn't, then it's back to square one, and, you know, we'll find something else to do there, I suppose.
Now, there are some successes in development news. It's not all bad. The JW Knapp's department store, you can see that stuff is right. going on there, which is exciting. And also the Heights of Eastwood, a couple of the restaurants have opened, but there has been some delays with the hotel that's supposed to mm-hmm. go back there and other developments. What's holding things up over there?
That's unclear. The LSJ couldn't get comment out of the man in charge there, Mr. Hayward. But, you know, it could be any number of things. Either there's some financing trouble or perhaps there's some issue with, you know, construction, who knows? You know, that development, the scary thing there, I think, for a lot of folks is that Lansing Township is the financer and developer there. So if these things don't start moving, then there's some real concern about taxpayers footing that bill.
Okay. Thanks, as always, Angela Rittrock of MLive. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the news.